Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show. We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella and Jill DeWitt.
Hello.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about, it's our Monday deal review. It's Monday, actually. And we talk about buying valueless lots. Great show today, Jill. Let's take a question posted by one of our members on successplan.com, our free online community.
Oh, all right. Dave asked, I have a seller whom holds the property in an LLC. If I close via a mobile notary, what documentation does he need to show the notary to prove he consigned for the LLC prior to handing him the cashier's check? Is it the operating agreement? Jack?
I'll tell you, this is a great question. It's an excellent question. You know, we buy properties and you do or will buy properties from legal entities and LLCs and all that stuff. So how do you know the guy signing or the person signing for the LLC is really has the authority to sign? So the thing about an operating agreement is it's a legal entity that can hold property just like a trust. But what's interesting is I don't think it gets as much attention about checking these signatures as, let's say, a trust does. And so I know Jill has a standard procedure to make sure that this is okay that goes pretty quickly, and I bet it's the exact same procedure as a title agent would use, right?
Probably.
Go ahead. How do you do it?
Well, I do my homework first. So here's the thing, Dave. Long before I'm ever even looking at a notary and all of that stuff, I would have made sure that the person I'm talking to and making this agreement and everything really is the person. They need to really be the managing member. And it's so easy to check this. You can go onto the state board, business board. I don't know what the LLC commission is called, but anyway, can't try to think. But
corporate commission.
Thank you. Yeah. And you could easily search by like their LLC name or even maybe the member name, and it'll pull up and you can see right there and then that that's the right person. So
it's a good question.
Yeah. And that, and then you can see too, if there's other people that are listed, you know, but you want to make sure you have the managing member. If there's a board and there might be two managing members or something, then they both need to sign. So you do that homework ahead of time. Then I was going to say too, when I'm sending it to my notary, most notaries, that's not their job. I mean, their job is to verify that the person signing is the person named. They're not going to do the homework or even know how to do the homework often, you know, to verify it's just the right person that should be signing, and you don't want it to get to that point anyway.
The job of a notary is just to verify that the person's actually signing the document is actually that person. Mm-hmm. They're not, their job is to do nothing other than that.
Right. They're supposed to verify they really do work for ABC and whatever.
They don't even read the stuff.
Exactly. So.
And they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right. And I don't need an operating agreement. I have it right there. Maybe if there's a couple people listed and there's some questions, but I've never had that situation. I can check it myself.
You know, in the beginning, if it's, and by the way, the county recorder will not check this at all. If it's XYZ LLC, an Arizona corporation, and John Smith signs for it, and John Smith of XYZ Corporation was on the vesting deed, that's all they look at.
Good point. Well, you know, they'll even say, it won't even, usually on the vesting deed, it'll say the corporation name.
Yep.
It'll so, and they don't even know that if this is really the managing member or not. It just says the corporation. So
they just record it.
They trust that you did your homework and they record it.
Right.
So that's your
it's up to you.
Job. Yeah.
It's not that
good
hard.
Point.
You just look it up on the internet and then, but I tell you, if you're brand new, I would take it a step further if the person who's signing has a really typical name like Steve Smith or John Smith or any name like that. And just take it a couple of steps further, if not for any other reason, just to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's Monday.
Yay.
And we looked at our deals.
Yay.
We looked at our database and our deals, and we're going to talk about them. Some of them anyway. What'd you do this weekend, Jill? Some funny stuff? Do you have any funny things that happened to us recently?
I'm sure I do, and I can't.
I know. I don't mean to blindside you.
So, that's such a good question. If it's a blur, is that a good thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
We've had so many people. This good
it's
news.
A great thing.
Here's good news, bad news. Good news is we're set up out here in California. Bad news is we have a spare room.
I know. Oh my gosh, you're exactly right. You think it's a good thing.
And then bad news is we shared that we have a spare room. Oops. So like good right news is we have a lot more friends than I realize that we have.
We have a calendar on the refrigerator, like it's 1971, you know? Yeah. And there's, and Jill's got color-coded like crayons or markers or something.
Totally.
There's a schedule of what people are coming and leaving.
You know, I bought a pillow for my friend a couple years ago, and now I need the same pillow. And it says, you never know how many friends you have until you live at the beach. It's so true.
You know, that's the same with boats. Yeah. You know, when you get a boat, you find out who your friends are.
That's
actually what the pillow says on there. That's well, it's not funny. A pillow for boats. It's like a plaque.
Do you know what's really cool, though? I got to tell you, my wardrobe consists of nothing but shorts, tops, flip-flops, and if I'm dressing up, sandals.
This is totally off topic. Somebody asked me this recently. It's totally off topic. Can you work? I mean, they said, do you find it hard to work in an environment like that? Like, it's everybody's just having fun. It's sunny all the time. You know, do you get anything done, really?
That's a very good, I think you and I, you know, I think it's totally person specific. I think you and I, one of the reasons we're together and we're so good together is we have a unusual self-discipline that many people do not have. And you and I will get up and go, gosh, I really want to go play today. And you want to go surf and I want to just go goof off and on my bike. And we're going to go, all right, then I guess we're going to get up at 5 and kill it. So by noon we can go play. So
I have the same answer, but just slightly different. I plan my day in my head. Like I do some stuff in the morning, whether it's exercise, take a motorcycle ride, all kinds of different stuff. I don't exercise. I play, you know,
right.
And then I burn calories that way. But when that happens, I sort of plan my day. And when I get that itch, cause you always get it, I can see it when you get it. And it's like, yeah, I got to get the heck out of here. Mm-hmm. Well, I have that itch all the time. So I think a lot of people do too. And so I just plan it out. I say by 3 o'clock, all this stuff's going to get done. Mm-hmm. Or like right now we happen to be in a week where there's just a lot of IT stuff and some changes going on in our back office function. And, you know, so I just have it in my head. It's mm-hmm. a mental thing that I'm not going to do it. I'm going to work on this stuff. And that's it. And around 6 o'clock. That's it. We're making go.
Yeah, and that's
go
okay.
down to the beach or something crazy.
Exactly.
It's all in your head.
It is.
That's all.
It's true.
I'll tell you what I don't like because I'm from Michigan is when it's overcast 320 days a year and I get a lot done. I don't sit back and say, wow, I got a lot done. It's because it's overcast. No. All I think about is going out here.
Got it. Good.
I don't think you ever had the misfortune of experiencing that, Jill.
No, I have not.
It's awesome.
Never lived anywhere like that.
Another thing I adore about you is just, you just don't even know how bad it is back there.
Thanks. Want to talk about Monday?
Today's topic is Monday deal review. Every Monday we look at our deals that we're doing and we talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
I put a trick topic in here, valueless lots we're buying. Are there any such thing as valueless lots? I don't think so. What there are things called paper subdivisions. And you hear this a lot from older, more seasoned real estate guys and they scoff at it. Oh, that's a paper subdivision. I'm here to tell you, forget about what those guys say. You want to gauge your property, whether you buy it and then resell it, based on the 4 A's. We talk about it a million times. Attributes, is it close to something? Does it have mountain views? Affordability, is it cheap? Acreage, larger the better. And access. Is that right? Did I get them right? Access, can you get to it? So if it has all those four things, who cares? Who cares when it was subdivided? Who cares what the situation is? If it passed all your tests and you can resell it and make some money, that's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the older guys say no. Anyway, I think, and we're not even buying any of those. I just wanted to bring that topic up.
Okay.
Jill, what's on deck? Like, I know you looked at the acquisition thing. You live and eat and breathe it.
Mm.
What are you buying right now? That's interesting.
It was awesome. The other day we had a run to the bank situation, which is great. Run to the bank, get this in the mail quick. Don't let this go. So that's what happened. So we're buying, it's probably happening today. 10 parcels. Actually, I know it's happening today. It's 10.
No, I love that you don't actually really, I mean, you don't see the papers go out of the office, right?
No, it's, you know, I just like, quick, run, go, do this now. So, yeah. There are 10 1.25 acre properties, one seller. And what made it so exciting for me is a couple of reasons. A, It's 10 at one time. I love that. And B, what they're valued at. I mean, I could only find a few of the similar properties for sale out there, and they're listed at $2,500 to $3,000. And what I'm buying them for is, oh, $2,000 less than that. So it's a quick guarantee double your money if you do it wrong. And if you do it right, you know, you can make four times your money and you're still under everybody else.
You know, it's the same deal. It's the one that's right at the top in the database. And I looked at it too. And I'm very familiar with those, with that subdivision in that area and those properties. We'll sell them for $3,000 for cash. And we're going to pay, I didn't exactly look. And I know you don't like to disclose this, but I'm going to disclose it anyway. I mean,
approximately,
we generally don't pay less than $500 per property. I just think it's silly to go through it. So let's just say we're going to pay $500, and I bet that's about what we're going to pay. Yeah. And we sell 10 of these things for $3,000 to $3,500. Let's say we clear $3,000.
Yeah.
And we will. That's $30,000. How much time are you going to have in this whole thing?
Gosh. Me personally?
That's a great point. How much, if you're a one-man show, how much time?
If I'm a one-man show, that's a very good question. I spent a couple hours researching them, double-checking it, pass on my tests, and then, you know, I had to go to the bank, I get a cashier's check.
Oh, God, that's painful.
Oh, gosh, that's a lot of time. Let's see here. You know, I don't know, half day, maybe?
Yeah, I'm going to say end-to-end, if you're brand new, 8 hours.
Okay.
But I think it's probably closer to two.
I say a whole day because on the buy site, and then recording and all that good stuff. And so, yeah, 8 hours of work for, how much did we say, 30,000?
20 or 30. Let's 20 is.
You do it wrong, 20.
If you
do it
wrong.
Yeah, I like those numbers because then it makes people feel good. Okay, I do it all wrong.
Yeah, so that, I mean, you do like, I don't know, 10 of those a year. What? Right. 10 of those a year.
And those mean, not.
What's 10,000? What's 30,000 times 10?
300.
10 deals a year.
Mm-hmm.
$300,000.
I gotcha.
So my point in all this is that I'm so glad that you chose that set of properties to talk about, because there's other things in there, big properties, like 160 acres in this, and it costs $30,000 to buy it, and we're going to make 40. You know, those are tougher deals to do for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. This is just what I would say a mitigated risk, pretty much a zero risk deal. There's no such thing as zero risk, but it's 99.9% going to happen.
And they're easy to sell. It's stuff that I can put on the website and people can go and check out with their credit card. People are going to have $2,800. They're not going to have $30,000 available on their credit card, you know, for my one deal that I'm holding out for, like you just said, Jack.
Right.
That's a whole different thing. So, and that's like you said, and I have people that come to us with these really lofty goals. I'm like, let's think about this.
Let's get the first deal done.
Yeah. Let's do a couple of these. And there's so much less risk doing 10 of these versus one biggie. So, and this was easier, so much easier.
It really, exactly, Jill. And it really, it mitigates your risk. Mm-hmm. Multiple unit deals are the best. If you listen to the show at all, we always talk about it. When you can do one signature, one deed and buy 10, 15, 20 properties all at once, it's this exact same amount of work, in my opinion, as buying one property, but you make 10 or 20 times more.
Mm-hmm. I was going to cover too, just a couple things that were important that I want people to know about. When you run to the bank situations, one, it's priced right. You know, it's a multi-unit deal. You've done your homework. It's really easy and clear to see where they're coming from. There's no issues about title or anybody's pass on. I mean, this is one of those so straightforward, it's not even funny deals. And also another key thing while I had everybody run into the bank is because there's so few of, there's some comps, but not a lot. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because that means like, oh my gosh, this is not a saturated whatever. There's not 1,000 of these for sale on this market. There's less than 5. That's all I could find.
That brings up a great point.
And I'm excited.
I'm sorry. You have another one?
No, go ahead.
That brings up a great point. You know, if you're walking around or driving around a market looking for a house and there's every house is for sale, it's got a sign in front of it, or if there's like 4 houses that have signs in front of it, or there's none, which one would you choose as a buyer?
Yeah, I'm in the middle or the none. I mean, as a buyer?
As a buyer.
Oh, as a buyer. Well, definitely in the middle or the none.
As a buyer, I would choose a million real estate signs, because I think that Interesting. You know, the price is lower.
Well, there is that
competition.
Well, that's true too.
So that's why we teach, just check to see the county that you choose to work in. Check to see if there's a lot of stuff that has back taxes on it. That's one of the reasons. It's very simple. You can just go to, there's websites all over the place that list it. That's kind of like their business, to see how they in one convenient place, they show you how many back tax properties are listed and when the auctions are and all that. I'm not advocating in any way that you buy back tax property. A lot of people talk about that. I don't think it's the right way at all. All I'm saying is it's an indicator that you might get it cheaper. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
You're right. I answered that wrong. It's kind of funny. I think I'm going to pay top dollar.
I think it's Monday and it's early.
That's
and,
true.
And I know why.
Well, you know what? You know
I was
what
involved
is?
In most of it.
I don't know how to. I don't know how to buy that way because I don't drive around looking at signs.
There you go.
Which, by the way, is a whole other thing. The two guys in the elevator.
You got to tell that story.
All right, here's the story.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Oh my gosh, this is the funniest thing. All right. And if they're, I'm sure they're not listening, but it's just hilarious. So I am in here in South Bay at a public library in an elevator. And these two guys are in this elevator and they're talking about properties. And so here my ears perk up. And this guy's talking about, he's like, well, this one guy says, well, where do you find the properties? He's like, well, I'm driving around and I have this person now who's got some data. And I'm like, oh. And wherever they said, I wish I could have remembered. It was something I had never, ever heard of. And I'm like, this is not sounding promising. And he even kind of said that whatever they're getting this from, it's not promising. So I couldn't help it. I had to pipe up and I said, are you talking about driving for dollars? And they kind of both looked at me and they're like, what's that? And I'm like, well, I said, you know, like driving around. And then they're like, and I said, driving for dollars is driving around looking for distressed properties because you want to research it and, you know, see about buying. They're like, well, yeah, we just have never heard of it called that.
I wonder what they call it.
I know. And then it was so funny because the one guy goes, yeah, I was just saying, I don't do enough of that. And I'm like, oh, I just like wanted to pound my head against the wall and go, I said, hold on, you know, there's a better way. So anyway, we didn't, and they had to, it was really weird how it ended. I didn't get a chance. Well, I was in a hurry. They were in a hurry. And I didn't want to sound like, oh, I'm trying to sell you something. But I just was trying to help the guy out saying, you're not doing it wrong. Go with the data. There's a better way, you know, kind of thing. And I think I did say, why don't you just send a letter to them all and let them call you if they want to sell, kind of thing. And I could see the wheels kind of turning. So, and here's what's funny. The way the one guy had to run and he kind of went with him and you could see he's thinking about it. And I had to run into the library and take care of my thing. And so I just had this feeling and I was in and out of there in 5 minutes. I just had this feeling too that those poor guys were probably looking for me in the library later and they couldn't find me after I planted that little seed, you know, and then I split. So,
yeah. I love it.
It was really funny. But yeah, so what the heck? Oh my gosh, they're doing it wrong. And B, what do they call it?
That's funny.
Right.
Man, I think it gets you thinking about how many people are out there today, especially real estate agents who are out getting listings.
Right.
That's literally not how driving. It
works. Like it's 1979.
I explain all this at datatodoorstep.com.
Yeah.
I'm not selling anything. I'm really not. If you go there, I explain why so many people fail at this.
Yeah.
I know because I did.
Well, here's
I
my
did it
thing.
All wrong.
No wonder those people are exhausted. Do you know what? They have to work so hard for every one deal. I really would love to know their numbers. If I'm out, I'm just curious. I might spend 3 days of driving, right?
We calculated.
Maybe
it one time.
I come up with 10 I'm going to research. I mean, what do you even find, if that many?
It's tiring to think about it.
And we
just
all,
send some mail out.
Right,
send
well,
a bunch of offers out.
Jack, you and I know this. We all know. Because we've all done this, we've all looked at them, that dilapidated house in that fantastic area has been sitting untouched for 6 months for a reason. There's an issue. There's a title issue because trust us.
Somebody died.
If money could solve it, that it would have been solved.
That's not the deal you want to do for
exactly.
The record.
Exactly.
You want to send a letter, an offer to everybody in that market that you've chosen. And see which one sends it back.
Exactly.
And you want to send them an offer price that you're going to, like Jill said, three times today, where you run to the bank to get the money that you want to before the seller changes their mind.
Mm-hmm.
The condition of the asset has nothing to do with a good deal.
You want to get there before anybody else, and but before they're not even on the MLS.
I bet 50 to 80% of the people that invest in real estate in the first few, and I was one of them, the first few years of your life are doing it wrong like that.
Yeah. And I and talk about
you want to find somebody who just that day said, man, I'm selling this.
I don't want to work that hard.
Yeah.
I want, you know what? I'm very happy not working that hard and making a lot more money. Next.
This is a technical too. 2 minutes of property investment advice from our 15-year, 15,000 transaction experience. As I said earlier, do not listen to these old school commercial real estate guys that use phrases like, oh, that property's out there in the middle of nowhere. It's worthless, quote unquote, worthless. Oh, that's a paper subdivision. Ha, ha, ha. That's the worthless. No, listen to your gut. Listen to people who are making money right now and doing it the right way. But most importantly, listen to your gut. There's no such thing, in my opinion, as absolutely valueless real estate. If you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. My personal favorite part of the show, Jill's inspiration of the day.
There's a lot of negativity out there, folks. Don't get sucked up in it.
This is a paper subdivision.
Well, yeah. That's that could be one of them. But no, it's
that
just...
That property's in the middle of nowhere.
There's a lot of... Yeah, I mean, that's really not where... That's good, though. You're right. You know what, Jack? You're right. That's a really good example that I didn't even thought about. Just that kind of negativity. But I'm just saying...
Don't take a chance, young man. Go get a job. Just, work that job till you're sick.
Are you done now?
No, I like doing that. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. So I just... It's easy to get sucked up in it. You could start off having a really good day and then...
Are you done now?
Exactly. Listen, Mr. Negative over there, are you done yet?
You know, it turns out I have a tremendous amount of examples that I could say right now at the drop of a hat about being negative.
Yeah, I bet you could. Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
That's the name of a show, How to Be Negative by Jack. Jill won't be attending.
Exactly. I will not be there. No, you're right. So I think I made my point.
Anyway, I keep interrupting you. I'm going to zip it now.
Honestly, no, yeah, I made my point.
Think it all the way
you
through.
You helped me make my point. No, just
I agree. Yeah, you got to be positive about the whole thing. Well, you have to trust your gut, right?
No. I love you, Jack. That's still not my point. just there's people out there. You have your... It's not your gut. It's your head. Don't let people get in your head and mess with you. You're having a good day. Make it a good day. There's so many, you know, people are going to be yelling at you. People are going to be putting demands on you. People are going to be, you know, saying you're driving too slow and you didn't take off fast enough at the light. I mean, just silly stuff, but it adds up. And don't just, there's so much negativity out there and I don't know why and it sucks and I know it, but don't let it get to you and don't let it get in your head. That's it.
Excellent advice.
Thanks.
Hey, join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information that's me.
And inspiration that's me.
To get just about anything you want, including being positive.
Thanks. We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You know what somebody else said to me recently?
What's that?
Hey, have you gotten over the fact that, you know, have you gotten over like the honeymoon period, so to speak, of, you know, spending a lot of time in Southern California.
Who said that? I'm curious.
One of
someone
your
I know?
Immediate friends, yes. Well, you know who. And you know who it is.
Do they?
They live very close.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And they wear dresses, not pants. And it was one of those answers where you don't even think. I said, no. No way. And I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
I've been
to Paris a million times, and I got over that in 2 days. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I love it here. I love the attitude of the people. I love the weather. I love the neighborhoods.
Well, that's very interesting. Maybe, too, because we don't have a commute. We don't have that.
Yeah.
We have a different life that a lot of people, it doesn't get to us. You and I were talking about that the other day, like the people that live where we live, but they have to commute to LA every day. Yeah, that would get on my nerves really fast.
There's a lot of alternative ways to get downtown. I was riding really early this morning and I saw there's commuter buses, mm-hmm. and some of them are like lickety-split, they don't even stop. Mm-hmm. They only stop
at like a few stops. Yeah,
this neighborhood and then downtown LA.
Right.
And so, I mean, what a great way to get a ton of work done.
Exactly.
Like you said earlier in the thing, in your inspiration piece, you know, that's a commute is a negative thing. Mm-hmm. Let's turn it into a positive. Let's make it an hour-long work session and get a bus pass. Probably mm-hmm. cheaper than driving the car anyway because mm-hmm. you got to park and the whole thing.
Totally.
So. No, I have not, to answer to my, this is my little talk at the end. I have not gotten over through the honeymoon period here. I'm still elated to wake up in the morning. It's a lot of fun. Hey, information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening.
Let's go buy some property. If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.